Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Vlad Mukhertumyan here with me today. And Vlad is the CEO and co-founder of Logic Inbound, which is a full-service digital marketing agency located in Seattle. So Vlad, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited to have you here with us.
I'm excited to see what this turns into. Happy to help. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So to get started, I'd love to know, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner and entrepreneur?
Oh, you just went deep off the bat, didn't you? Basically,
right in.
Yeah, just go right in there. So I got a bachelor's in psychology, right? And I always try to look backwards and make sense of things, even though sometimes people just do things accidentally and then say they did it on purpose, right? But basically, I was always interested when I was younger as to like what motivates people. Well, two things really. What motivates people to do what they do, and then really, how do you get an easy bachelor's degree? But basically, the first one is the better answer there, I guess, right? Because it's kind of a combination. Like, I wanted to pick something that interested me, and so I always asked myself as a kid, like, why do people do what they do? Like, why does the world operate as it does? And that's kind of why I went into psychology. And it was actually interesting because like the older I get, the more I see that the psychology world today just still has a long way to go. But
interesting.
You know, I digress there. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, so I started the agency as kind of like an accident. So then I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. I got the psychology degree. And then I loved music. So, you know, basically I worked at a music store and I didn't like it because my bosses weren't I would kind of always ask too many questions. I remember one time I was like, what do you do? He's like, I'm the manager. I'm like, what does the manager do? And he was like, don't worry about that. Worry about your job. And I was like, well, that's not really, doesn't jive with me and how I think about things. So I was like, Okay, well, you know, I would always try to kind of like find little nifty tricks. I think the VP liked me because I always found like little nifty tricks to do things and get things done more effectively. But then I felt like I was micromanaged a lot. And then, you know, that's around the time me and my cousin, we would go and flip books and just kind of hustle to get extra money. And then that's when we got into apps, and then we got into a CRM, and then we got into the agency today because we faced our own pain of not being able to grow. And that's an interesting question in itself, like growth. What is that? But anyways, yeah.
Yeah. So how did you bring on those? So, all right, talk a little bit more about your story of starting Logic Inbound. And I'd love to know, you know, what it was like in those early days and how you got those first few clients.
Early days, I like to say we're amazing, but they kind of sucked. I think the more money you get, the easier it is, really, you know, even though you get older. But like, I remember we would do shit. Like we would go in and we would take a bus to meet a client, right? Because I couldn't like afford a car at the time. And then the client would like joke about traffic and we'd be like, oh, traffic's so horrible. And I was like, well, I'm walking to a bus then. Yeah, I was like, we would walk like 30 minutes to the bus station, then 40-minute bus ride, 30 minutes back. So it was like, it would take like 2 hours, 3 hours to get a client meeting. And the way I got started in this agency specifically is there's a guy named James Altucher who wrote a book called Choose Yourself. And basically in that book, he talks about how every day you should write down 10 ideas to get your creative muscle going. And then I would just send people ideas in my network, like people that were either general managers or business owners. And then one of my friends just met me for dinner. And then I was telling him what I did and he was like, oh, here are the problems I had. And I was like, I could solve those problems. And then in my head, I was like, I think I'll find out a way how, because that's what we did. And so basically that's kind of how I fell into it. And my friend, I think he didn't really, I mean, you know, you got to talk to him, but he didn't really trust a lot of marketing agencies. There's a lot of, you know, nonsensical agencies out there. As many people mm-hmm. know, as many agency owners know, you'll probably get spammed by other agency owners trying to sell you things. And so basically, I ended up just starting him and starting with him, getting him as my first client. And then I remember actually going into like, he, like, I remember like really just wanting to close a deal. Cause I was like, man, I gotta get something off the ground. Otherwise I gotta get a job. Right. And yeah. then he was just like, so I went to his place one day, he was just smoking, and I'm not a smoker. Like, I'm really cheesy, like motivational Tony Robbins inspired guy. Right. But he was like smoking, and I was like, fuck it. Like, I was like, I'm just going to sit through the cigarette smoke. So he was just smoking and talking about us like being a general manager and all of his life's pains. And I was just taking in the smoke, and I was like, yes, yes. And in my head, I'm like, oh, man. But I ended up just kind of like spending a lot of time with him and luckily closing him. I don't even know how I lucked into it. You know, I like to yeah. say, like, if you can't teach it, you're not really, you haven't really mastered it if you can't teach that skill. Right.
Yeah.
So then I got him as a client, and then I met like another marketing vendor that he had, and I was like, oh, this is an enemy. I was like, this is an, I'm going to take this guy down. But, and then very quickly, you know, I was just like, you know, I can be very vulnerable with people. So I was like, yeah, we're just like figuring it out, you know? And later ended up kind of being a mentor. His name is Dave. He's been in the industry for like 20 years. And so he's like, okay, I'm gonna take these boys. He calls them boys. He's like, I'm gonna take these boys under my wing. And then there's like probably 2-3 years of like mentorship and referrals and all that. And that's how I built it up.
That's so cool. That's really interesting. And then, so how has your strategy for, you know, growing the agency and bringing in more leads evolved, you know, from, you know, the early days until now?
You know, I like to say this is like the, you know, so I had quote unquote three, it depends on how you define company, right? But mm-hmm. I had three different companies, really. The first was an app company, and we would just build apps, and we would just build and get downloads. And we didn't know how to monetize, right? The second mm-hmm. company was a CRM, and we got that to 5K to 10K. And I would do solo, I would do cold calls a lot, and we just kind of like, and take people to a lot of lunches, right? And so that company is similar to the agency. The early day agency, you really don't know what you're doing. So I would say you're just kind of really taking people out to lunch, like going, praying that you have somebody in your network who knows somebody else. That's really the strategy I would say that most agency owners use, especially the ones that are, you know, not doing it the optimal way. And so basically, right. you know, they're taking a lot of their friends out to lunches. Do you know anybody? And they're like, oh, well, I think I know someone who walks dogs. And you're like, perfect. Please introduce me to your dog walker friend. And then the dog walker friend, you'll talk to them. And then you're hoping that eventually you'll run into a business owner, you know? And so that's yeah. kind of how it goes. And so I took people out to a lot of lunches. I would talk to a lot of people, and I love people. I'm a people person for sure. And basically I ended up, just kind of word of mouth, right? I just met a bunch of people, told them this is what I did. And then I would do work, you know, you do pro bono work, you mm-hmm. know, you get ripped off all you basically that's the early days. Right. And so yes. you could probably grow a company to about $500,000 doing that. If you have a real pain or problem that people need, like website design, right? Cause you're just constantly like, let's say you're good at website design. You're constantly talking about website design and just talking to all your different people in your networks and telling them and asking them for introductions. Do you know anybody? Right. And then basically to go from $500,000 to the 7-figure plus mark, some people can, depending on their model, some people can still get to $1 million. If they like have like a really advanced network, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, I have a friend client connection. So he basically worked mm-hmm. at a big M&A company and mergers and acquisitions company, and he got to 10 million in like 1 year, right? And so wow. you think it's like, oh, this guy's a brilliant marketer, right? He's just a genius sales guy. No, it's because he lives in a really rich neighborhood and all of his friends are super rich, right?
Yeah.
So if you can network with really successful people, right, they'll eventually give you a shot. And if you just get lucky, right, you just keep shooting, then you'll land them. But to get to the $500,000 plus mark, like you can even get to $1 million, like I said, depending on what you offer, but to get to the past that mark, right, what I did is I actually ended up starting to keep metrics of everything: SEO, cold email, cold call, Bark, you know, like Bark, Upwork, all these different online platforms. Mm-hmm. Going through my network, I kept metrics on that. And so that's how we got to the million plus mark. So Upwork actually ended up taking us to over the $1 million. Last year we did about 1.6. this year. So we did a million 2021, 2022 to 1.6. And then this year I'm kind of like probably in an exploration mode of like saying, okay, well, let's just shoot for net profit. Cause there's a difference between net profit and revenue. That's a whole different thing. But anyways, sorry to over answer. Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay. That's really interesting. And I love your tip about, you know, there's different levels of networking. You know, you can be investing your time in networking with, you know, dog walkers and, you know, different types of businesses, or you can focus on spending time with people who are really successful, really well-established business owners, and, you know, taking advantage of their network as well. So I think that's really smart and a really great way to just fast track your learning as well.
100%.
So really cool. And then, so what are some ways that you try to maintain happy clients along the way so that they're hopefully going to bring in referrals for you?
How do you keep people happy, Julia? I mean, you tell me. Just kidding. So basically it's really this, right? They're paying you for something, right? And they're paying you for a deliverable, right? It's like, why do you do anything? You turn on the TV to plug away from the world, right? You know, you're eating food to feel full. So it's like, what is your service you're offering? Maybe you're a website, right? You got to deliver on the website, right? Mm-hmm. And then they'll give you a timeline, right? And then, you know, how well you deliver on that timeline, you have to be likable, right? I like to think to myself, like, you have to be their angel, right? Like whatever they need, right? Life is hard enough. So basically if they want a website, get the website done, right? Just get whatever the deliverables are done. And if you meet those deliverables, and even sometimes if you can afford to do it, and a lot of agency owners out there, they have horrible margins, but let's say you go above the scope, right, of work, right? They say, you know, it's a 10-page website. And for whatever reason, like maybe you add in content or something, right? Or you do something, or you make it look better than
like, you know, go above and beyond.
Exactly. Right. And so that's really what it's all about. Right. And so you can ask them like, hey, what do you look for in an ideal vendor? They'll say those things. And you're like, okay, well, it's a sliding scale, right? They might say, oh, I want a vendor that delivers quick. And you're like, okay. And you're like, okay, well, what's quick? They'll say a month. And you're like, great. Well, I'm gonna get done in 2 weeks in my head. Right. So now you're going above and beyond. That's how you do that. I think that's a good question. How do you keep clients happy? But I think most people intuitively know you go above and beyond. Right. But the question is really, what do you do? And let me ask you, Julia, what do you do when a client's unhappy? Right. That's the majority of agency owners. That's the game.
Yeah. And I think when they're unhappy, the key is quick resolution, like just like getting on it and not being afraid to own up if it's something that you screwed up, just having that transparency and just, you know, quickly resolving the issue to the best of your ability.
Yeah. I think speed is huge in today's world. Right. And the things are only getting faster with ChatGPT and all that. I don't know if you've checked it out, but everything is just going faster and faster and faster. And and speed is key. And it's really speeding up delivery of what they want as much as possible, you know? But then the harder question is, okay, well, what about if it's something that, for instance, you know, it's a website, they say, okay, well, I want 5 more pages. Right. And you failed. You said, oh, we're going to do 10 pages. You thought, right. A little miscommunications. Right. So it's like, if you're proactive, that's easy, right? Being proactive about everything, super easy, right? But being reactive and solving those problems, that's where it gets tricky, right? A client says, hey, it's going to be a $10,000 website, right? And you say, great, that's the job. But then they want a $30,000 job. You know, why can't you do a custom animated video for me on my homepage? That's what I want, right? And you're like, oh, well, I didn't put that. This is something we don't do, right? I'm like, yeah. I had a friend.
Just managing those expectations.
Yeah, my friend Bob was going to build a website on Wix, right? And he was going to do a video animated graphics of me, right? Like, what are you talking about, right? Like, that's easy, right? And they'll say things like that, right? And so it's like, okay, well, how do you manage expectations in retrospect? That's the harder skill, right? Being proactive is something easy to learn, but it's like, okay, well, hey, video animated graphics, I'm just being really honest here. We can't do that, right? That takes, you know, these are kind of, maybe if you want something video, right? Like I can find somebody on Fiverr and do it that way. Right. But right, if this is the level of quality you want, right, this is the packages. And so I think a lot of it comes with definitely proactivity, but then the reactive part is the tricky part. And I think what's also really key as you get older in the agency life is to not take on every client, right? Mm-hmm. Because some people will have expectations that, like, I had a client, I tripled his business from 3 to 10 million, and he never said thank you once, right? And so basically there's different types of clients. So you have to be able to judge character as well. And you can only get that through experience. You know, I'm really watering down the answer of, you know, how do you manage?
This is interesting. And so do you do like monthly reporting with your clients?
Oh yeah. Agency that's worth anything will do monthly reporting, but we actually go straight for revenue.
Okay. So like with monthly reporting, do you ever run into a situation where your clients just don't respond to the reports that you send out to them?
Yeah. Yeah. That happens for sure.
Yeah. So is there a way that you guys sort of like check in with your clients to make sure that they're on the same page with what you guys are doing?
That's a great question.
I feel like that ties in somehow with, you
that's
know,
really, yeah, yeah. It's pretty happy. Complex, right? So basically, there's always more than one answer to everything, right? So basically the easy answer is we used to do weekly calls with clients, right? So every single week we'd get together and I'd say, hey, here's your business, you tell me what you want. And every single week, 30-minute meeting, right? But then, right, in SEO, which is something we specialize in, right, you've got to wait like a month and a half, 2 months, right? And so you almost want them to basically just kind of like forget about you for like a month or two and then like check in that way, right? Because week to week, Google's not really going to make any updates, right? So basically what I found is that, you know, obviously it's the personality, right, that you're dealing with. That's key. But then also, right, the question is, right, how do you get them to understand? How do you educate people, right, on the things that are important, right?
Yeah.
So basically we'd meet every week, right, and then we'd be proactive. And so what I always like to say is, hey, team, right, because I have a team of 13. I say, if anything's important, you better write that shit down and email it to the client, right? I was like, if it's not written down and not emailed over to them, then they're going to come back and they're going to say, hey, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So the proactive answer is easy, right? Say, hey, Julia, you wanted a website project, right? We're going to check in. I always have a check-in call, right? And then I send in advance, like, hey, here are demos of the types of sites we've done. Here's three examples of sites you wanted, right? Now we're getting to work, right? So just so you have a clear picture, right? However, the tricky part, like I said, is when they're like, okay, well, you know, I'm changing my business entirely, right? And so your whole marketing campaign strategy is different, right? What do you do in that scenario, right? And that's, I think, what makes a skillful business owner, period. How are you able to be flexible throughout everything? And what I've done, and this is my cheat code, is I actually have a series of mentors, and I'll just call a mentor and I'll just ask them. And I'll basically have, like, one of my mentors, very successful, right? I have some really successful, you know, millionaire mentors. And one of them was like, why, Vlad, why the hell do you have like 10 of us? Like, he's like, why don't you just stick to one and get to work? And I was like, I'll tell you why. Cause you give me a piece of advice and then I take it and I filter it through somebody else. And so my goal is to get to like the core truth. So if you don't have a millionaire network, right, then what you can do is you can just go ahead and just go through your peers, right? You gotta like get the closest thing, right? That's you don't have a great gym membership. Okay, we'll go, you know, start doing some pushups at home. I don't know. Whatever the closest thing is, you got to do it that way. That's how we look at like the decision problem solving method.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah. Take action. And as you grow, you know, you'll move up, you'll find those millionaire mentors at some point, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. I think you got to offer somebody something. Right. And then when it comes to kind of that reporting thing, right. That's the other thing, right. Like, you know, so I'll tie it all back in. Right. Like my mentors will say, okay, well, proactive communication is everything. I'm like, yeah, I wish, Bob, right? I wish if I had a time machine, right, that would be great. But then they'll say, okay, well, let them win the battle, you win the war. So that's exactly the methodology I always go with. You know, I always say, okay, you win, you get the battle, right? But the war is, this is what I want, right? And so with clients, it's a long-term relationship. Your most profitable clients will be with you the longest and they'll leave you alone for the most part. They'll let you do your thing. Right. Those are like the best clients. Those are like the dream clients. So that's the mentality. That's the philosophy that we go with. And we try to get to as close to that answer as possible.
I like that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So same thing with reporting, by the way, right? It's like whatever they want in the short term, right? Whatever rank, let's say they want like keywords, right? We'll say, okay, well, there's 10 keywords you want to rank for that are nonsense. They're not going to drive your business forward, Bob. But okay, we'll pick five of them. Does that suffice? Great. And then you're like, okay, great. Now I can work on the real campaign. and do what I think really matters, because I've actually done this before.
Right. Got it. Okay. So Vlad, I'd love to know, you know, what's one of the biggest challenges that you've had to overcome as you've grown your agency, and how have you overcome that? I'm sure there's been tons, but yeah. If you're able to pick, you know, one and share with us, that'd be really helpful.
I'm gonna go deep. So I was actually, you guys might already guess this. So I actually burnt myself out as an agency owner, right? Mm. So what I ended up doing, anybody, I don't know if any business owners out there listening, they've had a late night of hard sleep, right? Not being able to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. So try doing that for about a week and a half. So that's what happened to me. So I had this stupid, crazy.
And like you couldn't sleep because you were like stressed out about work or okay.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going. I had the stupid, crazy, maybe smart goal of saying, okay, I'm gonna do a million my first year. And so like even last year, like we did 1.6, I was trying to do 4, right? So I just got that crazy itch in me where I just want things to be bigger and bigger. Bigger is not always better, right? Like I'm learning that because I have these two mentors. One is like going public. The other is like Vlad, enough. I have enough. He's like, when are you going to have enough? There's a Stoic quote. I'm a huge fan of Stoicism. And like, I know Stoic quotes, you know, Seneca says, no matter how much you have, Julia, there will always be more, right? That's just the nature of the universe. You have Earth, there's the other planets to conquer, right? Yeah. So basically, I said, okay, well, a million. So I didn't sleep for like 2 weeks. And mentally, I just lost it. I was out. You know, I started hallucinating, right? Wow. I started losing faculties, my mental faculties, which I was so torn down, Julia. I was like, if you would have met me at the time, which would not have been a pretty sight, you know, it would not, it was just a babble. I'd be a babbling, nonsensical, you know, tinfoil. Hey, Julia, I have tinfoil to sell you for the aliens. Basically, and I'd say the craziest, most crude things. But long story short, I would have rather lost a limb at the time than really been in that state where you kind of can't control your brain. So then I went into in and out of hospitals and facilities, mental facilities and all that kind of stuff to heal. And then I had psychiatrists tell me that I'd have to be on meds my whole life. It took me like 5 psychiatrists before one said, hey, Vlad, I'm going to give you meds, but yes, you can taper off. And I've never taken like drugs. It was pretty interesting. I've never taken drugs or anything like that, but I've been put on like the craziest mental things ever. Right. Long story short, I also at the time, Julia, just so you know, the maniac you're talking to, I was trying to do a million, and also I was training for a marathon that same year, because why not, right? And then also I just got a girlfriend who loved to sleep late at night, which didn't help the sleep thing, right? It's my ex-girlfriend. Yep. But basically, long story short, you stir those ingredients up, right? With this like 25-year-old, you know, kind of like learning to be confident self of himself, right?
Yep.
This is like 5 years ago, you know? And then that's what happened. And that was like, and I just ended up depressed, you know?
You pushed yourself too far. Too hard.
Yeah, I've never been one. I'm too stubborn to ever go suicidal, but that's probably the closest that I've ever been depressed. And that was kind of like hard in that. That's a mental hardship, right? There's other hardships that you can go through that I think are all relative, you know. But you're speaking to somebody who, you know, like, you know, I'm an immigrant, like I'm Armenian. I'm very proud Armenian because there's like only 5 million of us in the world. So I'm just really kind of like, you know, like thinking to myself, like, yeah, I come from a war-torn country that is like, and I'm living in America. So it's like, what challenges, you know, like that's kind of like my oxymoronic life.
You've been given this.
Yeah,
this
I'm in America. Right? I get to go to a job every day, right? And debate with Bob about coffee. And my manager made me drink the shitty coffee at work. You know, and then it's like, there's people literally dying of hunger out there still, right? So it's like, you know, one of my favorite thoughts of this week was we live in a country where the number one factor of death is overconsumption of food, while other countries are dying of food, right? Of just not enough food, right? Yeah. Our number one factor of dying is overconsumption. We have so much food that people are literally dying of heart attacks, right? So it's an interesting kind of thing. And yet people here, even myself included, right? Like the human brain still finds problems. But anyways, sorry to overanswer again, but there you go.
No, I don't think you're over answering at all. It's really interesting. And very good. And then, so what is your 5-year goal? So where do you want to see Logic Inbound grow to be?
Who really knows, right? So one of my favorite, we were talking about books a little bit earlier before we started. Like I was saying, like, you know, books are like songs because I go through so many. So like if you guys ever have the privilege of reading the book Rework by Jason Fried, he'll note in that book that predictions and plans are just guesses. And the farther you go out, right, the harder it is to predict the future, right? Is a new version of COVID going to come out in, you know, 3 years from now? Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows how that's going to affect your agency owner, right? You don't know. Mm-hmm. You know you've been affected by it, right? I went through it. The year that we went through the COVID thing, we did 600K, then went down to like 400. And then that next year when we hit 1 million in revenue, right? Because we just bounced back stronger, and that's a whole different story. But yeah, in 5 years, my dream self is going to be running a tech product company, right? Because my story is I did apps with my cousin. I did a CRM with my cousin, and my cousin's like a genius in his own right. And he's like complete opposite of me. Like, I love people and blabbing a lot. He's just really like, he's a problem solver, like a tinker, a puzzle. This guy 3D, who 3D prints for fun? He does. He 3D printed his own iPhone case for fun, right? So basically, middle school built his middle school's website. Like, he's very technical, and that's what he loves. You know, like, mm-hmm. leave me alone, right? Go talk to Vlad if you want to talk to somebody. It's like, basically, yeah. my life is everybody really needs to talk to him. But, you know, I'm like his shield. But basically, he made me, like, I'm like the CEO because I'm the one that loves people, right, and culture. But long story short, we're running like a really successful tech product company, right? And then this agency, I started to basically empower myself when I'm going to start buying small businesses, because I have a mentor who buys small businesses. And mm-hmm. so it's going to power them. And then also it's like my fun little coaching experiment. Like, I just love to coach people, like going back to like Tony Robbins. Like, I actually worked with Tony Robbins's team. He doesn't even know, of course, but when I was on a project on his new book, Life Force. Yeah. And when they got to me, I was like, you guys have no idea. I've been like preparing my whole life for this. So we try amazing. To help them with their analytics. That's a whole different story. But anyways, yeah, in 5 years, I'm going to be running like a really successful tech product company, and then using my agency to just kind of like be like the motivational guru, kind of like Gary Vee style. I'm like, you know, if I had to distill myself in like a horrible box, because I don't like it, but I would say, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk is a huge influence. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Gary Vee. And basically, I would like tweet at him, and I actually wrote an essay about him, which got him to follow me on Twitter a while back, years ago. And like, I was like, great. I would be like him on the agency owner motivation side, but really underneath it all, like, I have the heart of like a tech entrepreneur. Right. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Well, you're an up and coming person to keep an eye out for. You'll be Vlad M, because I highly doubt that anyone can pronounce your last name. So you'll be known as Vlad M.
Same as yes, Gary exactly. Me. Vlad MK. Vlad M is probably easier. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's the dream, right? How far are we going to get there? Like, when we first started, we wanted to do $2,000 a month. I didn't know we were going to have it, you know, like, I didn't know how it was going to look like. So we're just trying to figure it out that way. But that's the dream.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to move on to the fast five now. So I have 5 rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Let's go. Yeah.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
One Thing by Gary Keller. I'm just kidding. I'm just going to super answer fast. I don't know how fast you want me to answer these. You know, like,
they're never rapid fire, like, ever.
No, they're not. They say the fast five, you know, it's a series of books, right? I don't really think it's one. That's a great book though. But, I would say Give and Take by Adam Grant. That's a great book because, and nobody really, not nobody, that's a lie. Most people, I think, underestimate the value of that book, because I think if you can give to somebody, that means you have abundance, you have extra. And he actually mm-hmm. kind of weaves these parables and stories, real life stories together about how being a giver means you succeed. And that's, I really resonate with that. I love helping people, right? And I think life becomes a lot easier when it's not about you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when it's about me, that's when I'm like, oh, I suck, let it up. But when it's about like, oh, let's help Julia today, you know? So mm-hmm. basically that's, that Give and Take by Adam Grant really shows you that you can succeed in business. It dispels a lot of the myths you have in your head, right? And a lot of us have the wrong beliefs, and that's why we're stuck at our current level, right? Like mm-hmm. the first belief you might have as an agency owner is like, oh, I'm only Vlad's the greatest. Nobody else is great. I can't teach them how to sell. I can't teach them how to design websites, right? Only I can do these things. And then I ended up doing that, right? And you have to dispel these beliefs and say, okay, I can teach somebody else how to sell. Just talking to people and being honest. Let's be honest here, right? I can teach them how to do website design. You got to take feedback and move things around, right? So Give and Take, right, is really gets to the core of that, of like, okay, this is, if you focus on being a giver, right, then everything else will kind of come back to you.
I love that. Awesome.
Yeah.
And what does your morning routine look like?
Man, I am insane about this. So basically I'll get up, I'll reach for the ceiling. I'll do 10 pushups. Then I'll get into like heavy strength training, which is like the minimum. I have a thing with minimums, right? So like I'll do 10 pushups in my minimum. And then basically I'll kind of do my other things, right? Like, so I'm going to sound completely, in the sake of, you know, not sounding vain, I'll just do like squats, right? And then like some basic stuff. And then I'll go for a 1 mile jog. I'll tell myself, Vlad, just do a mile. And then so far today, actually, cause I had this podcast, I didn't do 2 miles, but I did a mile. And then I'll either walk the mile back, but most of the time I'm too stubborn. I'll say, I just ran a mile. Why don't you run a mile back? So I'll do like 2 miles every day.
I love
super
that.
Super easy in the morning. Right.
And yeah. Just quickly, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about your ideas of minimums and maximums. Can you just explain that a little bit? Cause I think that's a really cool concept.
I think a lot of, so here's an even more core truth, right? I think the most successful, so James Altucher, who's a great prolific author and celebrity entrepreneur, he basically, he actually liked this tweet of mine. And I said, I think successful people are more successful because they're more honest with themselves because they can manage reality better, right? Mm-hmm. People say they want six packs, right? But do you really, because if you really wanted it, you'd, have this great morning routine. You'd keep track of every calories. I wouldn't have eaten 3 Oreos yesterday, right? Like that's the thing, right? So basically for me, I say, okay, well, I do want these things. I don't know how much I really want them. So what is the minimum I'm willing to do for them? Right. And so, it's kind of, I guess I threw two things at you, right? So the first is the honesty part, right? Like how honest can you be, right, with yourself to really get to where you want to go? And then it's like, okay, what's the exact minimum? What's the simplest thing you can do to get there? And start with that. And then you'll build momentum over time. Like our agency, right? You started with 2K a month goal. And then now, you're 7 figures and
Yeah. Awesome.
But the morning routine thing, I mean, that's a whole thing, Julia. Like I have a journal every night. I take a shower and then I take 30 deep breaths at the end of the shower under ice, like the coldest setting ever on the shower. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing I do that I love. Right.
Yeah.
It gets me outside of my comfort zone. There's a whole thing, but those are kind of like simple things that I do. Try to make it simple.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I mean, I have a lot of mentors, right? So that's not fair for me to really answer, but I like Gary. I mean, Gary Keller is a billionaire, right? He's an easy answer, right? Mark Cuban. I study all of them. I was actually talking to a friend of mine. I was like, we're talking about me and him, like we talk about billionaires in my friend group. I have like a Saturday morning friend mastermind group. We talk about these CEOs, like a basketball player would talk about, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. I study the game of business. And so, I mean, I follow my mentors. I follow Aaron Muller. I'll give him a shout out, right? Lifestyle Business Owner. You guys should check out that book. It's the best. It's a great book, but by the way, right? So I study him, right? He's a phenomenal guy. But I study a lot of different entrepreneurs. I think you kind of got to get like, now this is going to be poetically cheesy, but you get whispers of like the truth from other people, right? And then you just add them all up. And then that's how you get your truth.
Yeah. It helps you give that, you get a glimpse into what they're doing and all these little glimpses you incorporate into your own life and it just helps you to grow.
Yeah. Like I have an exercise I actually have people do when, that we're like, Vlad, they wrongly say, oh, you're successful. How are you so great? Right. Like I want to be successful. How blah, blah, blah. Right. So I tell them, okay, well write down 5 people you really, I was like, first write down all the people you ever admire, period. Right. It's much easier than just think of like your top one. And then I say, okay, now circle the top 5 from that list. Right. So I have a list that I really admire, like my mentor, G-Man, like obviously Jobs, Elon, blah, blah, blah. Right. But basically then I say, okay, out of these 5 people, right. You can now follow them. Right. And if somebody says something you don't resonate with, just switch to the next, I say, how would it feel if you were a combination of all 5? Did you like that? Great. You found your 5 and you can change the list. So I study Marcus Aurelius, who's awesome in Stoicism, et cetera.
Very cool. That's awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
Man, what another never ending. So I would say, this is going to be probably the corniest answer ever, but I like the online timer. I have a little hack I do when I have to do something I don't want to do, right? Which is obviously a part of life. I actually set an online timer and I set a 60-second timer and I say, okay, do this for 60 seconds. I've actually changed it to say, just do this task for 5 seconds, 10 seconds flat, just freaking start. And then when I hear the alarm, I'm like, great, I've done it for a minute. Let's see if I can go for two. And then it goes off for two. And I'm like, okay, great. Let's see if I can go for three, four. Mm-hmm. And then that's my stack up, right? You get to 5 minutes, you've really done 12, 15 minutes of work. And I think that's a huge key as well in this journey of business, self-development, life. It's like, can you focus on what you need to do and get in a rhythm, kind of like jogging? Like when I jog every morning, mm-hmm. it's like, can you focus to start, focus on, you know, just the beginning and then get in a rhythm?
Yeah.
So online timer, cool.
Yeah, that's a really cool productivity hack. Awesome. And then, so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
What's one thing? I mean, I wish I had known that, this is a huge one for me. I wish I had known that you should read books, right? And I have mentors who are insanely successful, right? And obviously, like, there's not one path. But for me personally, I'm the type of person who is just never confident enough with their amount of knowledge. Like, I never feel smart enough. I always feel like I'm dumb. So I'm constantly going through these books, just like, you know, just like pouring through these different inklings of knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was 20, I made the mistake of listening to one mentor's advice. It's before I had multiple. And he said, oh, why are you reading books? I'm a multimillionaire. There's multiple people. Gary Vaynerchuk hates reading books, right? You don't have to. But for the people who think they'd like reading books, I would strongly urge you to start. And it's a huge advantage in business, being more knowledgeable, right? Huge advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a really great tip. I love that. Well, Vlad, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I've really enjoyed learning about your story. And so thanks again for joining me for today's episode.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.